Well, what I want to talk about tonight, there's three things that I haven't talked much about and the ones that we have video of. And the first one is, what is the first one? Gee, I don't want to mess this up. I think it's the North Pole. Boy, now I don't remember. The second one. Okay, I'm going to take a chance. It's going to be the going around the world in a balloon. Okay, now the balloon is over, and there's a big race around the world in balloons, and there's about six different teams that are trying to go around the world. And up until now, they've all tried, and they've all failed. They end up in the ocean or end up in some jungle someplace, but nobody's flown a balloon nonstop around the world. And I thought, hey, I'm the around the world king. Boy, I know all about this stuff. You know, it's real, you know, it's just a darn balloon. Oh, yeah, sure. So anyway, I talked Paris Hilton, did I say that? Actually, I met her when she was just a little kid. Anyway, I talked to her grandfather, Baron Hilton. Baron Hilton is probably the neatest guy you'll ever want to meet. And he loves aviation, and he's just really a great guy. And so we talked him and Pepsi and Hilton Hotels for some money. And I worked five years. I worked all year to make the pressurized capsule that we're going to spend almost a month in the stratosphere. And my partner, he had a balloon envelope, and that was his responsibility, the envelope. Now, the capsule, you know, there was a life support system and the food and the radios and all the other things that had to work the first time in this capsule. And then there was the balloon, and all he had to do was go and decide which one of two manufacturers is going to build it. Now, I worked my tail off for a whole year, and he made one decision, which was the wrong one, and he went skiing for the whole year. And the bad thing about it was, less than a week before we were due to launch out of the Albuquerque Balloon Festival launch site to go around the world, and the Global Hilton, he comes to me and he says, Dick, I'm not going with you. And I said, the heck you're not. I says, Baron has anointed us as the dream team. He was the gas balloon champion, and I won't tell his name because it'll embarrass him. In fact, he's not alive anymore. Anyway, I'm the round the world guy, so he anoints us, the dream team. Boy, this is a great thing. And I says, hey, Richard, we've taken a lot of money from Baron, and he's advertised this whole thing, the dream team. You can't go down there and get out of this thing now. You've signed the contract. You took the money. You can't quit a handful of days before we take off. Well, him and his wife went down there and cried on Baron's shoulder, and he let him off. And he called me up, and he was really mad. And he says, this is not the first time this guy's done that to me. I says, really? I would have liked to have known that before I teamed up with him. So I got a backup pilot, and I didn't know him very well at all, but he was the last-minute replacement. And if any of you have been involved in these projects, things really start to happen right at the end, just a handful of days before liftoff. It's all kinds of stuff to do. And I says, okay, Richard, if you're not going to get in the capsule and take the risk, you can't be the boss either. And you can't, you know, share the spoils if there is any. And he allowed that he wanted to, and there's nothing in the contract said that he had to go. And I got a lawyer. And the lawyer says, yep, there's nothing in there. It says he has to go. I don't know, I don't win those 2 minutes. But anyway, Dave Melton was going to go with me. And so we go out to Albuquerque, and we lay this big balloon that the other guy had contracted for, his responsibility. And we lay it out there, and the winds, fortunately for our lives, the wind was kind of strong, and it didn't die down until about 3 or 4 hours later than what we wanted to launch. And so finally they put the 500,000 cubic feet of helium and the balloon envelope stood up. And with fanfare and Star Spangled Banner and sirens and all kinds of fanfare, boom, Baron Hilton pulls the wire and we launch off into the stratosphere. Well, I'm going to tell you the story real quick and then you can watch the video. 12 minutes after we hit float altitude, which is the maximum expansion of the envelope, it exploded. And the whole bottom of it ripped out, and it had major structural failures of it. And here we were And I told my wife, I says, hey, no problem. I says, the only time you have to worry about me is when we're going to land, when it's the end of it. Because when you're in a balloon, every time I flew a hot air balloon, when I pull that handle and make that horrible noise, and then off you go, you have no idea where you're going to land. The only thing you know for sure, it's going to be someplace downwind. And it's always a great adventure. And in this case, I says, you know, I don't know where we're going to end up. It could be in some Arctic Ocean. It could be in some jungle. It could be in some whatever. Who knows? At the end of this thing, then you start worrying. But don't worry now. Everything's cool. That won't happen for maybe 3 weeks or maybe a month from now. So Barron releases this, and the Global Hilton descends into the night sky. 30,000 feet, 12 minutes later, a horrible design error of the envelope. And I won't tell you who made it because it's a little embarrassing, but his initials are Cameron. And he designed it so the relief valves would shut off instead of open up. And the thing became pressurized and the bottom blew out of it. And so Dave and I were coming down. Fortunately, the sun had just come up so we could see. So we're coming down, and long and short of it is that Dave and I bail out of the balloon about 6,000 to 7,000 feet over eastern New Mexico. And Dave jumps out first. Now, when I hollered Mayday, all three news helicopters, they went tearing out there, and they're circling the balloon. So this is on live television. And I called Mayday, and we said we finally decided that we're going to bail out of it. And so I went and got the parachutes out that I wasn't going to use, and pulled them out. There was a lot of survival gear on these things. And so I said, I don't need all the survival gear because you don't know where you're going to bail out. You could be in the Arctic or you could be in the jungle. So I get a knife out and I start cutting this stuff off. And then all of a sudden it dawns on me, wait a minute, you're cutting the parachute you're going to jump out with? Isn't this kind of dumb? So anyway, I threw the knife away. And we put the parachutes on. And Dave, he had tennis shoes or slippers on, so I got his boots on and laced them up real tight. We climbed up through the hatch. We stood on the propane bottle. It had tons and tons of propane around it. You can see the gold canisters. And Dave decides, he's my co-pilot. In the military, when the guys get shot down or they have a problem, the words you want to hear, he's out and he's got a good shoot. He's out and he's got a good shoot. And so when Dave jumped and his parachute opened, I says, okay, cool. He's out and he's got a good shoot. He's okay. But the bad news was that on the high plains in eastern New Mexico that morning, the winds are really strong. I mean, like 35 knots. And you're going to do a parachute jump. That's bad. If you don't do it just right, you're going to get hurt real bad. And Dave didn't do it right, and he got hurt really bad. He landed with it, and he locked his knee, and when he hit, it drove his femur up and blew his hip socket out. So he ended up in the hospital in traction that night. But I had done this before. I knew how to bail out in high winds. And so I bailed out. Turned backwards, run the toggles just right, and landed in a Cholla cactus patch. Now, I knew in a strong wind that you have releases. And you got to land on your back, because if you land on your front, the ground is going by at 35 knots, and you can't get your hands up to release these things, and you get drugged to death. And so it's imperative that you land backwards. But it's so unnatural to be going backwards. I said, I want to turn and see where I'm going. Anyway, I tried to overcome that, and fortunately I did. But when we hit at 35 knots, I hit and banged down on my back so hard I thought the helmet was going to break. And then I had my elbows in so the hands weren't hurt because they had to function to get rid of those capewells and release the canopy. I got the left one and the right one. Trouble is I took a millisecond too long. And I went upside down in a Cholla cactus. Now, you know what Cholla cactus is? The jumping cactus you see in Arizona and so forth. But they're round and all kinds of needles with barbs on them. If you brush them by, it just like comes and grabs you. So it's horrible stuff. So anyway, if you do something really bad, that you think you could be injured, first of all, you know that nothing's going to hurt for a while. Handful of seconds, and you lay there and wait for the excruciating pain to permeate whatever got broke real bad. And then you think, well, there's no pain. Now I go down and see if anything works. Hands work, elbows work, you start working your way down, waist works, and then if you can move your toes, at least the spinal column is okay. Okay, now you're all right, basically, without major injuries, and now you had to get this damn cactus off my face. Now, what you're gonna see in the video clip is all of those things happening. And the first thing I saw laying there was a cameraman with a big TV camera on his shoulder, and he's walking around me, filming me. He never said anything to me. He was just filming me. And I thought that was kind of unnatural. You know, he used to run up and say, hey, are you okay or something? But no, he was a cameraman. And he was walking around me, filming me, and I was looking through the cactus at him, and I wanted to say something very interesting to him. But then I remembered there's a fellow aviator in that helicopter over there, and when those whirly things slow down enough, he's gonna come out and he'll help me. And his name is Ray Klein, and he was a really neat guy. And you see him in the video, he comes up, and he has the same thing, too. He's standing in the straddle of me, and he doesn't know how to attack this cactus, you know, well. And I said, expletive, asked Ray if he would get this fine cactus off my face. So anyway, you're gonna see that, and I was just gonna give you a little preview of it. And if I have queued this up properly, that's the first clip we're gonna see. I hope it's that one. Okay, run the movie.
Rutan hits the ground backwards. The chute then drags him right into a cactus.
Ejected once in Vietnam. Then I ejected another time in England. One was in the water and one was in the trees, and now I get to land in a cactus.
Oh, there we go.
Melton.
Minutes ago, Dick Rutan, I guess there.
Okay, here comes Ray Vaughn. Look at him.
He hit a cactus and was kind of pinned down there, and our pilot Ray Klein helped pull some of the.
He didn't know how to attack it either.
Still, at this point, we didn't know if he had any broken bones or anything. He was able to get up, and seems to be doing okay. No broken bones. A lot of cactus stuck in him now. We did an interview, and I don't know for sure if we had time to get this tape cut so you can hear that. We're going to go to some interview now of Dick Rutan. And this is raw tape, basically, so this is the interview. Yeah, it is.
Is that all right?
Okay.
Well, it's done.
Where'd your balloon go?
There's somebody else.
No, it's still up there.
Okay.
The other helicopter.
Baron Hilton coming by in his Learjet. Pilot was about a mile away, and he never got up.
I suggest that you just ask somebody to go get him.
Okay. You're okay? All right.
Okay, go get him, please.
Okay.
You doing okay?
Well, yeah. Goddamn cactus is what got me. What is there, two cactuses and a... And I had to land right on one. Look at that Hummer. I drove right into that goddamn cactus.
Yeah, there's some more over here by his eye, too.
It's windy that morning.
Do you mind if I ask what happened up there?
We had a serious failure of our...
Okay, let's set it off. Okay, that's the first one. And we had it on TV. Now, I stood there that morning and watched that million-dollar balloon system land about a mile downstream from us. And the problem was that it hit really hard and some of those propane tanks broke off. And now it's relieved of a lot of weight and it went back up again. So it came down and hit again and some more tanks. But anyway, it hopscotched from eastern New Mexico all the way into Texas someplace. And finally, the whole system was recovered with a high power line. And I'd forgotten left the oxygen on. And some of the propane bottles ruptured, and so it soaked the whole system with almost liquid propane and 100% oxygen. And when they went and found it, there was not enough left of that that was higher than your shoelaces. So after all that happened, you'd say, well, gee, you're really sorry that this happened, right? The guy asked me, he said, Dick, what are you gonna do now? And I said, well, this is the very first day of our second attempt. because sometimes they don't always work. So anyway, I was really good. I was either a terrible budgeter or a really good manager, one or the other. You can make your choice. But for about the half of the money that was given to us to do that, we launched off and did this project. And I told Barron, I says, look how good I did. You know, I didn't spend all the money, no cost overruns. He says, yeah, Dick, but you didn't even get out of the county. And I had to allow that that was right.